Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Wren, and I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and cloud technologies. This lesson is titled WMI Discoveries. So the last lesson we talked about registry discoveries, and now let's have a look at how we can use WMI to use as a data source and other discoveries. Now, it's not going to be reasonable to give an entire overview of WMI if you're not familiar with it. There's plenty of information available on it throughout Microsoft.com and other areas on the internet. WMI stands for Windows Management Instrumentation, and it's a service that's available on any Windows machine since before Windows 2000. It provides us with an efficient access to a variety of components of the computer and operating system, in addition to anything else that has a WMI provider. So I have a link on the slide there to an article that I wrote for TechNet magazine several years ago, which actually used WMI in MOM 2005. Obviously, it's pretty out of date, but it does include a basic overview of WMI that's still pretty valid, and it goes over the basic syntax of creating a WMI query. We'll do that on our own when we get to our demo, but certainly an article like that will provide a lot of background information. So the logic behind a WMI discovery is similar to a registry discovery in that we're going to run it regularly at some interval. Unlike registry discoveries, though, we're going to want to have a target specific to the application, because WMI discoveries result in more overhead than querying the registry, so we don't want to put that overhead on agents where it isn't needed. In addition to the frequency, we need to provide the namespace, which is a standard part of WMI, and it specifies the repository for the particular information that we're interested in. And we'll cover that a little bit when we get to our demo. And of course, we're going to need to provide the query. Now, the query is going to return any instances that match its criteria, and we'll create an instance of our Manage Impact class for each WMI instance that is returned from the query. And we can use any property in our WMI instances that are returned to provide values for the properties on our SCOM instances. You'll notice here that we don't have a criteria step like we do with registry discoveries, and that's because we'll specify the criteria in the query itself. If the agent has no instances of the class we're looking for, then the query will return no records, and we won't create any instances. Now, the final thing we should note is that WMI queries are limited in their criteria. Essentially, we have a single query line where we can check the values of any of the class's properties. We can't perform any calculations or modify any of the data before storing it in the properties of the new instance. That's suitable for many discoveries, but any complexity beyond that is going to require a script. And we can certainly create a script discovery that uses WMI to access the same information. It's just going to be a bit more complex to create and create a little bit more overhead. We'll talk about that in the next lesson when we look at script discoveries. Now, there are three modules that you'll see used for WMI discoveries, but we're typically just going to use the first one here. That uses WMI to discover a class. We also have a module to discover a relationship and another to discover both. Typically, when we get into relationship discovery, though, we need a little more complex logic than WMI modules are going to give us. So we typically end up going with a script discovery for those. So the only one we're really going to use in this training is the class module. So we have a single class in our sample application that we're going to use WMI to discover. That's the Central Receiver class. Remember, that represents the service in our data center that handles the connections with the store servers. Now remember, our sample application is fake. It doesn't actually exist. So we just need to use some other service to act as our client receiver class. And the basic logic we're going to do here is just say, does that service exist? If the service exists, then we're going ahead and create our instance. So the logic that we're going to use for the central receiver class is simply that the service exists. And we would assume that in the actual application, we would have some service named something like client receiver. Now remember, our sample application is fake, so it doesn't actually exist. So we're going to need some other service to act as our client receiver class. Now the one I'm going to use is coincidentally the WMI performance adapter. Complete coincidence that I'm using WMI and that I chose a WMI related service. That service is actually used to collect performance information through WMI, but it's set to manually start, and it typically isn't running on most systems. So we can safely start it and stop it to drive some simulated monitoring scenarios. Now the name of the service is WMI APSRV, as you see on the slide there, and that's the name that we'll use in our WMI query. So we can have our query return any services that match that name. Now if we stop there, We get an instance created on every single agent because all Windows servers have the service installed. But it's set to start manually by default. So what we're going to do to drive our discovery on the specific agent we want is by changing the start mode to automatic and then including that in our query. We'll look at the startup type as one of the properties in our query. Now to clarify, if this is a real application, we probably have a service with a unique name. But using this method allows us to simulate the application with an existing service, and it also works to make our query a little bit more interesting. So before we go into our project and create the discovery, let's first look at creating this WMI query. Now, what I'm on here, this is a terminal session into the agent computer where we're going to create our client receiver service. So what we want to do is look for that service that we said we were going to use to simulate that. So I'm going to go down here. Remember I said it was called the WMI Performance Adapter. We can see here's that service. It's not running, set to manual, as I mentioned. And there we can see the service name is WMI APSRV. So what we need to do now is create a WMI query that will return this particular service. Now what I'm going to use is a utility that's available on any Windows machine. It's called WebM Test. Now in case you're interested, WebM stands for Web-Based Enterprise Management. WMI is actually the Windows implementation of that standard. That's where the name comes from. But you can see the title of the right on the title bar there is Windows Management Instrumentation Tester. So this is a very good utility that we use to quickly write, create, and test a WMI query. So what I'll do first is connect here to a namespace. And you can see our default here is root simv2. I'm not going to go into great detail on what that is. If you go to the reference article that I mentioned earlier, there's some explanation on that. But this is the namespace that you're going to use most of the time. This is where all of the Windows operating system classes live. So if I just connect to that, you can see all our buttons here basically become active. And again, all these other options on here, there are several that I explained in that other article. For now, we're just going to jump right in and create ourselves a query. So a WMI query actually looks pretty familiar if you're familiar with Transact SQL. Looks quite familiar. So a select star is something that you'd see in a SQL statement. What I'm going to say here is select star from Win32 service. Win32 service is a WMI class for services. Again, if you're interested in looking what are all the classes available to me, there are actually some different options here in WebM Test, enum instances, and you can go and look at all the different classes and instances that are available to you. For right now, I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into this one. So if I just say select star from Win32 service, this basically says return all services. And you can see here is a list of all of the services installed on this particular computer. So if we drop down, we can see WMI APSRV. This is this particular service that we see in this other dialog box. And if we open this up, we can actually look at all the different properties that we can use. So all the properties that we see here are returned from the query. When we put this into our discovery, these are available to us to use to set values for the properties of the OpsMan instance that we're going to create. Now in this case, what I want to do though is look at these properties for setting some criteria. So really a couple things we need to change here. First off, I don't want to return all services. I just want to return this one. So if we see here, I have this property name and we can see that it's valued WMI APSRV. So what I'm going to do is change my query to say where name equals WMI APSRV. Now, we should just get that one service returned. Okay, and again, this is exactly the same thing. I have all those properties available. Now, I should note that if you really want it to be efficient, you could change your query. Instead of saying select star, I could just say select and then give a list of property names that I wanted to return, which might be a little bit more efficient. I wouldn't be returning data that I didn't need. In this case, for the query that we're going to be running for our discovery, we're returning this one service. It's really not a heck of a lot of data there, so I'm just going to go ahead and keep my star in there. But remember what I said before, this service is installed on every agent. So if we keep this particular query in place, our discovery is going to discover an instance of this on every single agent. That's not something we want. We said that we wanted to look if the start mode is set to automatic. So if we see here, let's go find that property. We have start mode is currently set to manual. All right. So just for the sake of argument, I'm not going to change that yet. Let's change this query to say and start mode equals auto. Okay, if I apply that, sure enough, we see nothing is returned because, of course, we know this is set to start manually. If I simply go over here, I change this to automatic, apply that, so that's actually changing the service to start mode automatic, and then I rerun this query, now we can say, sure enough, there is the instance that gets returned. And we should be able to look in start mode here and see that it's set to auto. Okay, so now we can look at this query here, and this is the WMI query that we want to use. Again, this is very quick and dirty lesson on writing a WMI query. There's a bunch of other information available, as I already mentioned, and you can use WMI queries to return all sorts of different elements of the operating system, and even other applications may provide WMI providers where you could do these same types of queries. But for now, this is perfect for our purposes, and we know that that's the query that we're now going to put into our discovery. So here we are in Visual Studio, and this is the solution that we've been working with the entire time, and we can see the discoveries that we created in the last lesson. These are the registry discoveries. Now before I create my WMI discovery, let's go have a look at the class that we're going to be discovering. And that's this central receiver class here. Now you can see that we didn't put any properties on this class. What I'm going to do is I'm going to add a property to it just because it's going to make things a little more interesting. When we did our registry discoveries, one of the things that we showed was how we could take a value that we collected from the registry and assign it to a property on the class that we were discovering. And so we want to do the same thing with WMI. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and just modify this class. Just do the ending tag here first, and I'm just going to go ahead and copy one of the other properties here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to add a property called install path. And what I'm going to put in here is the path where that service is that we're using for the central receiver discovery. And that's a property that we're going to collect from WMI. So we don't really need it for our monitoring, but in order for this lesson to go a little bit better, I think it makes sense that we can show how that's done, how we can collect a value from WMI and then assign it to a property. So let's go ahead and jump into our discovery here. Now, if you remember, most of the discoveries that we created using the registry, we just did a copy and paste from the first one and then did some modification. I'm actually going to do that same thing again here, because even though we're doing a WMI discovery as opposed to the registry, there still are quite a few settings that we can carry over and some typing that we can save ourselves. So what I'll do is look at the properties for this one, and we'll go ahead and start doing our modifications. First off, the ID I'll change to central receiver, and same thing for our display name. And of course, we're discovering the central receiver class here, not the central processor. Go ahead and select it from the list. Okay. And then the big thing that we're going to change here is the module that we're using. So before we use this filtered registry discovery, as I mentioned on the slide, we're going to use this WMI provider with class snapshot. Now you notice that I can go into the configuration here, and our registry configuration is still here. It won't work, obviously, because for the WMI module, we're going to need some different attributes defined here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and remove the computer name here and remove all this registry information down to the frequency. I'm going to keep these other ones here. We're going to remove them before we save this, but these are actually some overlap in the XML that we're going to have to provide for WMI. And so I want to retain these here so I can do some copying and pasting. So I'll go ahead and do the same type of IntelliSense that we did when we created the registry discovery. The first value that we need is for the namespace. Now, as I mentioned before, when we were working with WebM test, root SIMV2 is the most common namespace that we're going to use. And so that, obviously, from the writing our query, that's what we saw that we had for that one. Next thing we need to provide is our query. And what I'm going to do is go ahead and copy and paste from WebM test, kind of off screen here. You're not seeing me copy that. But that's what I'm going to paste in there. And that's exactly the query that we just saw that we did some testing on. Okay, so I don't think I need to explain that any further. Next, we're asked for our frequency. And I'm going to go ahead and use what I did with the registry, which is 600 seconds or 10 minutes. Typically, again, when this thing goes out into production, we'd set this to more something like 4 hours or even 24 hours. But just for our lab testing, this is going to work okay. And the next thing I'm asked for is a class ID. Now you can see that this is one of the reasons I kept this class ID around that we used for our registry discovery. It's actually exactly the same thing. What this says is when we create this instance, what class are we creating an instance of? So I'm going to make this central receiver. I just wanted to have my copy and paste there so I wouldn't have to type that in. So I'll go ahead and remove that one. Then the next thing is the instance settings, and that's exactly what we saw when we did our registry discovery. So now if I have a look here, remember I'm getting the central receiver class and the registry discovery that these instance settings are from the central processor class. Very similar classes. They're both hosted by Windows Computer. We're targeting the seed class in both cases, so we can still retain that target host. And so since this is hosted by Windows Computer, I need to provide the key property of the computer. And so that's the principal name and then the display name. So what I'm going to do is just copy these, exactly the same ones that we used for central processor. I can copy those in. Then the next thing we want to provide is that install path, that property that we just created. So what I'm going to do just to get us started here is to just copy one of these from the registry, okay? Just to kind of get us a start here. Obviously, I'm going to have to make some changes there. Let's go ahead, before I do that, let's get rid of these old instance settings. While I'm at it, I can go ahead and get rid of that expression. Remember, we don't have an expression in the WMI discovery because our expression really is right here, right? We're saying where we have a particular service name and where its start mode is auto. That basically is the equivalent of the expression that we used when we were doing the registry discovery. So in this case, remember this is the central receiver class that the property lives on, and we called it install path. Okay. Now, there's a different syntax. Remember this data values QPath here. This is what we used for the registry. This is the syntax of a data variable when we're using registry data. In the case of WMI, it looks like this. Data property. We're going to say at name equals path name. Now, as I mentioned before, data variables are essentially an XPath to the XML of the data that's coming into the module. I'm not going to explain this too much further at this point. We'll see this some more when we do the lesson later on where we do some simulations and testing and troubleshooting of discoveries, and we'll actually have a look at what this WMI data looks like. That'll explain the syntax of this data property a little bit better. But basically what we're saying here is when the WMI data is returned, there is this property called pathName, and we saw the properties in WebM test, and this is the syntax really for WMI. Okay, and we're going to see actually a very similar syntax when we use output from a script discovery as well. Okay, and so this is ready to go. There are no more, as we can see, there are no more properties that we need to define here to configure our discovery. So I'm going to go ahead. Oh, just have an error there. My mistake. If we look here, I just forgot this in the XML, so this should be settings. Should should have been a little bit more careful when I created that part of the XML. I'm just going to space that in to make things a little bit nicer looking. So that's all that was saying, is that I missed this node here in my XML. So I can OK there. I can go ahead and save this. Okay, we should be good to go. Let's go ahead and build our solution. And of course, this tells us if we have any syntax errors. Okay, so that looks good, but before we actually install the management pack, what I want to do is create a view so we can actually look at those instances that we're discovering. So this is very similar to what we did before. And I'll go ahead and change that to target being our central receiver. And display name we'll call central receiver. And everything else really is, oh, sorry, it's ID we're gonna have to change. Change that to central receiver. Okay, and all I did there was really just create a state view, copying the state view we had already created for our central processor, creating that for central receiver. So that way, when we discover our instance here, we can actually validate that our WMI discovery is working properly and view instances that we're discovering. Okay, so sure enough, that succeeded. So let's go ahead and install. So here we are in our management group. Let's go ahead and have a look if our discovery is working as planned. Now I've admit that I fast-forwarded a little bit here. We would expect this to take a moment to install and get the new management pack load and the discovery to run. So I admit that I've fast-forwarded a bit here on the video, and sure enough, there we see that we do have it discovered. This is the computer where we changed the start mode for that service. Remember, if we didn't change the start mode on that one computer, we wouldn't discover anything. And since we included that in our query, that's what drove the discovery on this one computer and not the others that have the service installed, but it's not set to auto start, which was we specified in the criteria of our query. So you can see here that I have that property, that install path that I created on the class and that we included in the discovery that we got from the WMI data that was returned. I'm missing here the display string though. That should say install path there. And if we think when we created the class a few minutes ago, what we failed to do was go and create a display string for that property. Remember what I should clarify, the class already existed, we added a property for it. And because I didn't add a display string for that property, it's not displayed here. We can see obviously we're discovering it correctly because we see the value there. So that's something that I'll do before, I'll make that correction before we move on. I won't go through that here just because we've created plenty of display strings and we'll be creating several more. But in any event, this shows that our WMI discovery works as we expect. And so this completes this lesson. And what we'll do in the next lesson is move on and start doing some script discoveries.